just a seemingly picky technical point about the first reading from Colossians. Most Pauline scholars don't think that Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians or Ephesians, which depends on it. And the reason is that there's a very different theological understanding of Jesus. Here you have something very much like the prologue to the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, etc., etc., etc. This is not Pauline at all. Paul looked at Jesus as the first Adam, as the human being who most, in an absolute fashion, did what God intended human beings to do when God created them. This is certainly a very rich way of looking at Jesus, but I think it's important that we kind of sharpen our own ears when we hear the scriptures to know the variety of views of Jesus, of ways of understanding Jesus, so that we can appreciate contemporarily that same variety, although it's being circumscribed by certain quarters today, but we won't go into that. I've been trying all week to try to figure analogies for the situation of this wonderful parable, which is only in Luke, of the Good Samaritan. You could talk about the good Nazi in a non-ironic way, or the good fascist, or the good communist, or the good atheist, or the good whatever, some very objectionable category, in order to give for me and for you a sense of the shocking nature of this story when Jesus first made it up and told this guy what was what. The Samaritans occupied a space between Galilee and Judea in the middle of Palestine. They had their own temple, which to the other Jews was abhorrent. They had their own priesthood. In other words, they were considered really heretical Jews, seriously heretical Jews. Remember in the Gospel of John, it was a Samaritan woman at the well that Jesus was talking to for a long time, and everybody was scandalized by that. The point he's making is a very strong one and fairly clear, but I think its shock value is lost on us. He was a nice man, doing this nice stuff, but without appreciating the economic, the cultural, the religious differences, which would make a Samaritan look like a radical outsider, somebody outside the pale of God's concern, interest, etc., etc., etc. And Jesus sharpens the story even more by saying, here's this poor guy, beat up, looking like he was dead, being ignored by religious functionaries. Why? Because he looked like he was dead. And if the priest and the Levite, who was a temple servant, were going to do their business at the real temple in Jerusalem, to touch a corpse would have made them ritually impure, and so they couldn't carry on their business. Again, the point he's making is a point that we have over and over. Religion provided a filter whereby people could be excluded from the range of somebody's concern. And the splendor of Jesus' way of looking at things is this enormous clear-sightedness, where he simply saw anybody who entered his world who was in need. And that alone was the basis for the Samaritan's response. This poor man along the side of the road did not have to qualify in any way other than to be a fellow human being who was in a very bad way. The story, as I said, is kind of lost on us because, as I said, suggested last week, we've kind of domesticated, if you will, much of Scripture. We've taken the sting out of it. We've very large extent. It because it becomes so familiar, you say, oh, yeah, yeah, and they just sort of nod and drowse off, say, I've heard this before. So I suggest to you that you create your own homily on this text. Say, who would be the most unlikely person in the world, if you saw in trouble, would you respond to? And again, the crucial point is not me and my preconceived notions of who's worthy, who's unworthy, but being able to walk outside all of my normal frame of references to let this other human being, simply because they're another human being, emerge in all the reality as a fellow human. Again, we can stand in this very nice chapel and think all these nice thoughts. The issue becomes what happens in the real world when we see the native drunk and smelling on Dundas and Richmond. One of those. So I hope for myself and for you that we can put the sting back into the story to make it real. To help us understand what Jesus was all about and what we are called to.